Good evening. If you would turn over to John chapter 3, we'll be reading from there shortly. John chapter 3. But before I start this lesson, I'd like to thank you all again for this opportunity that I have. And I'm just going to keep it short to that, thanking you for the opportunity because you guys know how thankful I am. Now, when I was writing up this lesson, I was looking at the calendar and I realized that today was August the 7th. And on this day, 19 years ago, was when I was born. So today is my birthday. And when I was thinking of this, I thought of the lesson, the new birth, or a new birth in Christ. So I wanted to do a short lesson on this, and this is where I got my ideas from. So I'm going to be talking about the new birth, or a new birth in Christ. Let's look at John chapter 3 and verse 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we can see here that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee who came to him in the middle of the night. And we see him, verse 2, that Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And then we hear that Jesus tells him that, "I say to you, unless one is born again, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus and us as people are questioning, well, how can we be born again? And even Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, luckily, Jesus gave him an answer and gave us an answer. Look in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So it says, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit. So the water here we know is baptism. Through baptism, we are born again. When we are baptized, fully immersed in water, we are buried with Christ and buried into his death. And when we rise up out of the water, we are born again. We are new creatures in Christ, and we are sons of God after this. But it also says, and the Spirit. Well, how are we born again of the Spirit? We'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." So how we are born again of the Spirit is through the Word of God. The words that the Holy Spirit gave us is how we are born again. And how we are born again through the Word of God, well, there are a few things we know we have to do to follow and obey God's commandments. And one of these is repentance. And that's the main focus I'd like to talk about tonight, is repentance. Because when you repent, you turn your life from God. When you truly repent, your life will be changed. When you are born again, when you think of being born again, you think of a new life. And when you repent and turn away from your old life, and turn towards God and have a new life. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. It reads, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So we see here that it tells us that godly sorrow produces repentance. So we need to have godly sorrow. Now, what is this godly sorrow? Well, this godly sorrow is feeling sorry towards God, that we have sinned against God, that we have trespassed and transgressed God's law. We haven't followed God's law and we sinned against Him. And it's because of that sin that He had to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to take our sins. I'm reminded of the song, "I'm the One," where it says, "Every time I sin on earth, I feel that I'm the One. I'm the one who shouted, 'Crucify.' I'm the one who made his cross so high. I'm the one who stood and watched him die. What have I done? I'm the one." That's the kind of sorrow we need to have. We feel like we're the ones who caused Jesus to die, because we are the ones. Because of our sin against God, he had to send his Son to die for us, to take on our sins, so that we will have a hope in heaven with God someday. And that's the kind of sorrow we need to have, is towards God, directed towards God. And we can see in verse 10, it says, "Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Now, what is the sorrow of the world? Well, that's the sorrow of feeling sorry for someone that we've done something bad against, or sorry that we got caught doing something. That's not the sorrow we need to have, even though that is a good sorrow, to feel sorry that you've hurt someone, or you've done something against someone, and you feel sorry for that. But that sorrow won't lead to salvation. It'll lead to death. We need to have the sorrow that, I'm sorry, God, for what I have done. I'm sorry that I hurt this person, but I have sinned against You. Not only have I hurt this person, but I've sinned against You, God. And that's the kind of sorrow we need to have. We can see this over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When Peter was preaching to this multitude, and he told them that this Jesus that they had killed was the Christ. It says they were cut to the heart. And they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And we, when we first heard the Word of God, or we truly started to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, we were cut to the heart as well. We felt that we are the ones who had slain Jesus, had caused Jesus to die on the cross. And we need to have that godly sorrow for every time we sin, and the godly sorrow that we have sinned against God. Now look up in verse 9. Verse 9 reads, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So this godly sorrow led them to repent. Just like the people over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them to repent, therefore, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. He told them to repent. Now, repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of action that is directed towards God. Some people have to change a whole lot more than other people. I think of Paul the Apostle. This Paul was persecuting and killing Christians. But once he realized the truth, he prayed 3 days while he was in Damascus, or on the road to Damascus, and while he was in there. And then after that, he died for Christ. He suffered persecution for Christ, and all the way up to death, where he finally died for Christ. Someone who was killing these Christians turned his life completely around for Christ, to die for Him. And that's the kind of repentance we need to have, to turn our lives completely around in a 180-degree direction, if we need to, towards God. We need to give up everything for God. That is true repentance. I'm reminded of the rich young ruler who had everything he needed to do. He had kept everything from his youth, but he needed to do one thing, and that was to sell his possessions and turn and follow Jesus. And it even says that he went away sorrowful. There's that worldly sorrow again. He was sorry because he had a great many possessions. And this person, he had everything he needed to do, but he didn't do one thing. And that's like us. If we're saying, God, I'll give up my cursing. I'll give up my friends that I have, the TV shows that I watch that are bad. But God, just let me continue. I can't give up my drinking. I have a problem with drinking alcohol, but I just can't give that up. It's too hard. Well, that's not true repentance. That's not true turning around towards God. We want to give up everything and turn towards God because He sent His Son to die for us. And His Son, through His shed blood, we now have a hope in heaven with God. Finally, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. We see that in verse 9, He says, now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss for us and nothing. Well, why was Paul rejoicing that they were made sorry and that it led towards repentance? Well, we can see the reason in verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Once we have this godly sorrow and we truly repent of what we have done and we have turned away, then we will have salvation in Christ. Because once we repent, once we hear the words of Christ and know that what the words of Christ are and what Christ did for us, we will repent and then confess and then finally be baptized, be born again of water and be born again of the Spirit, just like it said over in John chapter 3 and verse 3. So we need to turn our lives around and we need to repent. And if you have not done that tonight, we ask you and we beg you to please come forward. Don't wait another hour or another day. We don't have assurance of that. Come now. If you have heard the Word of God and you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then that should lead you to have a godly sorrow for what you have done, just like the people over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And we ask you to repent. Turn your life around, completely around for Jesus Christ. And then as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then finally, be born again of water, fully immersed, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then as it says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, to remain faithful unto death. And if there are some here this evening who have repented and turned their lives around towards God, we ask, but you have started to stray, to turn away from God, we ask you to repent and pray, God, that the thought of your heart might be forgiven, just like Peter told Simon the sorcerer, and to confess your sins. And if it is a public nature, we ask you to please come forward confessing those sins. And we here will pray for you and help you and encourage you through your times of trials and your persecutions and your temptations. If any of this applies to you, we ask you to come forward, please. Don't wait another day, another hour. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.